All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Welcome to American Vindicta. I am your host, Doug Thornton, and today is episode 111. We're going to be talking about the cults in America and some other things outside the U.S. that you may not be aware of. Also with this, we'll be wrapping up the UFO special of America's Most Unexplained, and we're going to be opening up another case file. The cults in America. There is plenty of reasons why we need to investigate the occultic and all of their sects of religions in the United States, and also those that are popular outside of it, because we are coming into a time of humanity where people are losing faith in God and they are replacing that faith into other things. Typically, that doesn't go well for everyone else. Now, I want you to understand that everything that I'm about to read to you is completely true. It's not fictional. It's not made up. I have cited all the sources. And once I'm done with this interview, I will be compiling this. It will go onto the blogs for the AmericanVindictaShow.com. So you'll be able to pull this up. You'll be able to go to the resources and find them yourselves. And as usual, I suggest you do your own research. Find out what cults are within your own area. You may be surprised. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, it is May 2nd, 2022. Let's begin. What could be more detrimental to mankind than finding out his entire belief system was categorically incorrect? What do I mean by that? Well, for thousands of years, mankind has been ruled by religion in the name of religion. We have conquered and ruled over one another. Mankind for thousands of years has worshipped entities of other worldly means, to the extent that we would willfully slaughter ourselves and present the blood and hearts of victims of human sacrifices as gifts for these so-called gods. Our ancestors would perform sacred rituals and rites of passage that members of tribes and clans would have to partake in for the body and spirit so that it could be in Congress with the, quote, star people. However, across the world, from culture to culture, the two things that stand out the most to me in this religious nature of worshiping the entities and star people would be the massive efforts that it takes to appease these gods. Of course, by appeasing them, I do mean in the form of human sacrifice. I would like to point out an interesting detail in the material I gathered. During the 1950s, post-World War II, we see a Big Bang Theory-like growth in the occult and New Age religions. I want to know where this wellspring of occultic ideas sprung from, and why has there been a spike in the need for ritualistic group suicide? Once again, blood and souls for the worship of these small g gods. Many of these cults turn very militant and harbor the belief of a coming doomsday that requires the gods' intervention to save mankind, or sometimes for a more drastic form of saving that requires the consumption of a poisonous liquid or other forms of murder and mass suicide. In my opinion, much of this is viewed as mass delusion and there is typically a charismatic leader that guides the cult's beliefs, leads the rituals, and also chooses the victims for their sacrifices. Let's review what we know about the cults and secret societies. Much of this information will have links to websites and articles, titles, and their authors. First on the list, the alien religion few know about. So this is from NationalGeographic.com. The article is wrote by Yi Charlotte Ming. It is titled, Meet the Worshippers Who Believe They Are Aliens in Human Form, published September 5th, 2018. An hour outside of Brazil's futuristic capital, Brasilia, lies one of the country's spiritual capitals, Vale do Amanhecer, which translates to Sunrise Valley or Valley of the Dawn. At first sight, Sunrise Valley looks like a miniature theme park where visitors can see copies of the world's wonders without having to travel to the actual sites. Built in Plana Latina, a satellite city of Brasilia, the lakeside temple complex features a pyramid, a spaceship-like temple, a six-pointed praying center, and several ellipse-shaped sculptures. While the valley's physical setting can feel disorientating, it is not accidental. Meticulously designed, it is reflective of the religion's intricate, all-comprising doctrines and beliefs, drawn from a diversity of religions and civilizations, including Christianity, Hinduism, Judaism, the Inca, and ancient Egypt. According to the Sunrise Valley followers, extraterrestrial beings landed on Earth 32,000 years ago to advance human civilizations. The beings then returned to Earth through successive incarnations across various cultures and eras. Valley members, known as mediums, believe themselves to be the beings' latest incarnation, the Jaguars. Sunrise Valley was established by Neva Chavez Zelaya, known as Aunt Neva, in 1959. A widow with four children, she was working as a truck driver in Brasilia, then under construction to replace the Rio de Janeiro as Brazil's capital. There, she said she began to experience psychic episodes, which she later believed to be visits by spirits from the extraterrestrial world. Neva said that she was primarily guided by Pai Seta Branca, or Father White Arrow, a spirit emissary who depicted in statues and drawings today as a native South American leader. Brazilian photographer Guy Christ was drawn to Sunrise Valley because of its fantastical origin story and the medium's colorful, lavish garbs. He documented an array of rituals, some of them involving long hours of chanting while encircling the lake. Two mediums usually work in pairs during the rituals. An opera or reception medium has the job of physically incorporating a spirit, be it benign or troubled. An indoctrinator medium takes on the task of teaching the spirit and helping repel it back to the spiritual world. Followers believe the rituals also help mediums atone the karmic debts from their past lives. A believer of Umbanda, a spiritual Afro-Brazilian religion, Christ felt struck by an indescribable energy while photographing the rituals. Quote, I have seen many religions in Africa, Asia, and in Brazil, but this is the first time I feel I was connected to something, he says. Quote, saying, I indeed needed to get out of the temple because I was feeling dizzy. Sunrise Valley is one of Brazil's fastest-growing religious movements, claiming 800,000 followers and 600 affiliated temples globally, according to Kelly Hayes, Associate Professor of Religious Studies at Indiana University, Indianapolis. Still, mainstream society and religious communities in Brazil often shun Sunrise Valley, categorizing them and other spiritualist groups as cults. Tension is especially rife between Valley members and the evangelicals who built churches near the community, targeting members for conversion. The evangelicals believe Valley members are under the influence of the devils, quotes Hayes. Instead of diminishing the Valley as an innocuous cult, people should consider it in the context of its foundations, Hayes says. Established in the 1950s, the religion was popular among poor farmers and migrants who came to help build Brasilia. Brasilia, quote, at that time, signified Brazil leaping into the modern world and becoming a modern nation, quotes Hayes. But the hyper-organized concrete city turned out to be an inhospitable dystopia, plagued by overcrowding and crime. The spiritual healing the Valley offers is therapeutic for some of Brasilia's discontent souls. Quote, a lot of it is about re-narrating your life, says Hayes. Those narratives give lots of people a sense that they have some control over their lives, that justice and equality are possible through your work. Now, you're going to notice, and that's the end of that article, you're going to notice that a lot of these occults erupted after the 1950s. All right, so pay attention to dates. Here's an article from the San Diego State University, and this is jonestown.sdsu.edu. The title of the article is A Listing of Cults in America, and by far, it's missing quite a few, but these are some good ones. December 24th, 1865, the Ku Klux Klan. Six middle-class men found the Ku Klux Klan in Pulaski, Tennessee. One of the first known hate groups, this cult was, and still is, focused on the advancement of the white race as a whole. It was disbanded in 1870 and again in 1944. However, in 1915 and 1946 respectively, the KKK would eventually reform. Its peak year was 1924, with membership at about 4 million members. This cult is notable for being one of the first to come into existence, one of the only cults without suicide as a necessary factor, and one of the oldest surviving to this day, although it has lost most of its strength as a cult, a religious movement, and a political organization. The Ku Klux Klan has not only remained alive, if only just barely, but has inspired other groups, for example, the neo-Nazis of Germany as well. July 1879, the Watchtower Society, more notably known as Jehovah's Witnesses. Charles Taze Russell founds a Bible study group, as well as a magazine he will begin to publish. It became known as Zion's Watchtower Tract Society in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in 1881, and on December 15, 1884, became legally incorporated. Renamed Jehovah's Witnesses in 1931, this cult has gone on to be one of the most well-known religious organizations of all time, not to mention, it is still in existence to this day. Known for their three false doomsday predictions in 1914, 1925, and 1975, and a worldwide membership of 7.1 million people, Jehovah's Witnesses is a fine example of a Armageddon-based cult both in the past and the present. 1952, the Church of Scientology. L. Ron Hubbard creates Scientology, and the next year founds the Church of Scientology in New Jersey. This religion is based on the fact that each human was brought into the world mostly for their own pleasure. However, due to constraints of the world around them, no person other than someone who follows Hubbard's teachings exactly is able to fulfill this pleasure completely. This religion, most notable for its many celebrity members, i.e. Tom Cruise, has been brought into the public eye a great deal recently, and has come under a great deal of scrutiny. From well-respected news channels to the Comedy Central animated series South Park, Scientology is passed off as a novelty cult. This is Scientology's significance. It shows how, if a cult's image is publicly tarnished to a very high degree, it is unable to thrive. In short, although the church is still alive and members do join, because of the media, its power as a religious group is very small. 1954 to 1955, the People's Temple. People's Temple is founded by Jim Jones. However, in its very early stages, its foundation in Indiana, it is first known as the Community Unity Church. The cult, which will eventually lead to over 900 of its members committing suicide, was first introduced simply as a religious movement linked to Christianity, not as the communistic society that Jones had in mind. Known also for killing Leo Ryan, the only United States congressman to die in the line of duty, on a Guyana airstrip. People's Temple collapsed later that day with the mass suicide of the group. The entirety of this mass suicide represents how, in some cases, people can either be driven to the bidding of whom they see to be their leader, even if it would defy all that they would have previously thought right or true. It also represents how, even if the members of a cult are brainwashed, violent force may be necessary for your followers to follow you. As they were one of the most notable cults of all time, this group helped to pave the way for newer, more extremist religious movements of the future. 1955, the Westboro Baptist Church. The Westboro Baptist Church is founded by Fred Phelps in Topeka, Kansas, a far-right, extreme hate group that especially targets the homosexual and Jewish communities. The WBC, Westboro Baptist Church, is known for their highly provocative protests and picket signs. Alive and well to this day, the Westboro Baptist Church protests around the country. To name a recent endeavor, Duke University was protested due to their open and public welcome of students from the LGBT community. They picketed the funerals of Ryan King and Jake Velosa, who had been killed in Iraq. According to the WBC, their deaths were the direct product of God's anger over homosexuality. Colleges, synagogues, and community centers that do not conform with the values of the WBC, even the inauguration of President Obama, aren't safe from their derogatory remarks. In short, they are a prime example of a cult that does not have a mission, rather, from their tasteless signs, God hates homosexuals, you're going to hell, thank God for dead soldiers, to the URL of their website, GodHatesHomosexuals.com. They simply aim to slander and disrespect others. 1975, Heaven's Gate. Here we go with another UFO religion. Marshall Applewhite and Bonnie Nettles found their first cult, human individual metamorphosis. Their group traveled into the Colorado desert to await a UFO, but it never came. This group would eventually change twice more, once into Total Overcomers Anonymous in 1993, and finally into Heaven's Gate, the most recognizable name for the group, after the cult moved into the San Diego, California area. In mid-March of 1997, 39 of the group's members in matching attire committed suicide in a mansion in Rancho Santa Fe, California. Two members had left the group, would go on to commit suicide over the next year. As a modern UFO doomsday cult, Heaven's Gate went on to not only become one of the most notable cults in history, but showed the world that almost anything for certain people is able to be accepted as truth. 1974, the Raelian Movement. Raelianism was founded in Paris, France, by Claude Vauhelan. Focused on the idea of intelligent design, Raelianism is one of the few UFO cults that does not feature suicide at any point. Rather, it encourages its followers to prepare for the return of the Elohim, or higher beings, who reveal themselves to us at an undetermined date. Known for their support of almost complete sexual freedom, as well as cloning, Raelists are an example of a passive cult. Instead of resorting to violence and protest, they simply spread their message for salvation of others. 1984, the Aum Shinrikyo, also known simply as Aleph, was founded in 1984, and it is a destructive cult, most noted for releasing sarin gas into a Japanese subway in 1995, killing 12. The Aum Shinrikyo was founded on principles of Hinduism, Buddhism, and Christianity. Membership peaked at about 40,000 worldwide, which is 9,000 in Japan, in 1995. Currently, the total worldwide membership is about 1,650 people. Aum Shinrikyo is one of the most famous destructive cults, not suicide-based, but leading to the harm of other people, places, and things. June 23, 2005. Tom Cruise's interview with Matt Lauer. Tom Cruise conducts a controversial interview with Matt Lauer on the Today Show. His comments focus on a few main areas: his then-just-budding love interest, Katie Holmes, his oftentimes rude opinions of Brooke Shields, use of antidepressants, and a small bit on his membership in the Church of Scientology. This interview is very significant for one reason. It shows how a celebrity can use his fame to his or her advantage, or perhaps in the case of Mr. Cruise, disadvantage. He used his fame to support his argument of Scientology, as well as to vent his anger at Brooke Shields. He was also very defensive about his religion. In short, he knew that the vast majority of the viewing public found him to be, at that time, if not now, a joke. If anything, this may be the entirety of why Tom Cruise became a Scientologist. Attention, even in its negative forms. This is why some people join cults, in fact, for the sheer knowledge that people disapprove of, or at least know of, what one is doing. March 29th, 2008, the Yearning for Zion Ranch incident. At the Yearning for Zion Ranch, a community made up of members of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, also known as Fundamentalist Mormonism, just outside of El Dorado, Texas. Police raided the compounds and placed 412 children in the temporary custody of the state of Texas. This occurred after an alert from Sarah, a 16-year-old girl and a member of the church, tipped off the authorities to the sexual abuse of children on the ranch by other adult males. Sarah, as she was known, was never found by police. In fact, a much older woman, one Rosita Swinton, was found to have placed the calls as a joke. Miss Swinton had been arrested for other hoax calls in the past. Although there were multiple cases of polygamy on the ranch itself, and a few of the children had minor bone fractures, there were no signs of sexual abuse in any of the children. The most major damage to any of the children were three cases of broken bones, and all were acquired in the process of removing housing the children. On May 29, 2008, after a prolonged legal battle, the Texas Supreme Court ordered the children to be sent back to their mothers. The court found that there was not nearly enough evidence of any sort of abuse and that the acquisition of the children by the state of Texas was unjustified. This incident represents how, with cults, the government and citizens naturally tend to assume the worst of those affiliated. Even with the lack of any sort of substantial evidence, the government of the state of Texas was allowed to take the children into its custody simply on the grounds of public fear. After the children were returned, the church denounced polygamy, most likely as a way to assure the public that they were not an evil cult and faded from the public eye. Now, next, we're going to be getting into a Pennsylvania State University article, and this is from an author, Tess Kiowi. It was wrote December 2nd, 2018. The Sullivanians. The Sullivan cult existed of around 500 members in the Upper West Side of Manhattan, led by Saul B. Newman, a Spanish Civil War veteran, and his wife, Dr. Jane Pierce, a self-taught Marxist therapist. Neither of them had any formal training in the field of psychology, but started the Sullivan Institute in 1957. There we go with the 1950s again. A therapy and polygamy center which attracted many artists and intellectuals in the 1960s. Newton's goal was to establish an alternative to the traditional nuclear family, which he thought to be the main cause of social anxiety. Sullivanians, as the members were called, were forbidden from being in exclusive relationships. Everyone was encouraged to have sexual relationships with each other. Children born into the movement would be sent off to boarding school or have caretakers, only seeing their parents for an hour or two a day. Members were also encouraged to cut off all relationships with outside people, including family members, except in the event of needed monetary support. Over the years, the movement became more authoritarian and destructive. In the 1970s, Newton replaced his first wife, Jane, with Joan Harvey, an actress. Sullivanians joined forces with a theater group and wanted to sign a lease on a theater space. When the occupants refused to vacate, hundreds of Sullivanians flooded the theater and ascended the space with chaos, destroying sets, resulting in three arrests. After the Three Mile Island accident, a nuclear power plant disaster in Pennsylvania near Harrisburg, Sullivanians went to Orlando for a few weeks to avoid the destruction of Manhattan. When they came back, anyone who did not go on the trip was ostracized by Newton. Things changed drastically. Newton became extremely paranoid and even requested a room at their new facility to be built with quarter and steel-plated walls so Joanne Harvey could edit her new film without the CIA interfering. Because Newton thought the world was out to get him, He resorted to intimidation and violence. Throughout the 1980s, therapists used intimidation and fear tactics to get the members to conform as and act as they wished. They desired to control who had kids and how many and who with. One account of when a member tried to leave, two Sylvanians tracked the man down to the subway and dangled him over the tracks, threatening to kill him if he left the movement. One of those men was Newton's son. The movement slowly crumbled throughout the 1980s, with several courts cases revealing the brutalities and controversial practices around raising children. The cult ended in 1991 with Newton's death. All right, next. This is an article from the Smithsonian Magazine. So that's the smithsonianmag.com. And it is titled, Eight Secret Societies You Might Not Know. The popularity of these secret clubs peaked in the 18th and the 19th centuries. Now, this article was wrote by author Jackie Mansky and was wrote March 7th, 2016. Let us begin. By their very name, secret societies inspire curiosity, fascination, and distrust. When the Washington Post broke the story last month that Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia spent his final hours in the company of members of a secret society for elite hunters, people instantly wanted to know more about the group. The fraternity in question, International Order of St. Hubertus, was incorporated by Count Anton von Spork in 1695 and was originally intended to gather the, quote, greatest noble hunters of the 17th century, particularly in Bohemia, Austria, and countries of the Austro-Hungarian Empire ruled by the Habsburgs. According to its official website, the organization denied membership to Nazis, notably military leader Hermann Göring. Hitler dissolved it, but the order reemerged after World War II, and an American chapter was founded in the late 1960s. The order is just one of many clandestine organizations that exist today. Though the popularity of these secret clubs peaked in the 18th and 19th centuries, writes Noah Shatman from Wired, back then, many of these societies served as a safe space for open dialogue about everything from academia to religious discourse, removed from the restrictive eye of the church and the state. As Ms. Shatman writes, these societies were the incubators of democracy, modern science, and ecumenical religion. They elected their own leaders and drew up constitutions to govern their operations. It wasn't an accident that Voltaire, George Washington, and Ben Franklin were all active members. And just like today's networked radicals, much of their power was wrapped up in their ability to stay anonymous and keep their communities secret. The emphasis on secret was what inspired so much distrust in the exclusive clubs. No less than the New York Times weighed in on secret societies in 1880, not wholly dismissing the theory that Freemasonry brought about the Civil War and acquitted President Johnson and has committed or concealed crimes without number. The Times comments, quote, this able theory of Freemasonry is not so readily believed as the theory that the European secret societies are the ruling power in Europe, but there are still many people as yet outside the lunatic asylum who firmly believe it. many religious leaders felt at the very least conflicted about secret orders. In 1887, Reverend T.D. Whit Talmage wrote his sermon on the moral effect of Freemasonry, Odd Fellowship, Knights of Labor, Greek alphabet, and other societies. The Reverend, who said he had, quote, hundreds of personal friends who belonged to orders, used Proverbs 25:9, discover not a secret to another, to ask his audience to question whether or not being a member of a secret society would be a positive or negative decision for them. Meanwhile, that same week, Cardinal James Gibson took a more definitive stand on secret orders, saying that they had no excuse for existence. In the United States in the late 19th century, there was enough of a national uproar against secret societies that one concerned group created an annual anti-secret society convention. In 1869, the National Convention in Chicago, the attendees went after the secular press. The organization's secretary said that the press either approved or ignored secret societies, while few religious papers have spunk enough to come out for Christ in opposition to Masonry. But by 1892, the group which deemed the societies an evil to society and a menace to our civil institutions had failed to secure them anything but strong denunciation, as the Pittsburgh Dispatch commented. While the Da Vinci Code novelist Dan Brown and his contemporaries have shined a light upon some of the bigger secret fraternal organizations, like the Order of Skull and Bones, Freemasons, Rosicrucians, and the Illuminati, there are still other lesser-known groups that have compelling stories of their own. Here are just a few. The Improved, Benevolent, and Protective Order of Elks of the World. In 1907, the Seattle Republican reported on the Order of Elks, writing that it is claimed by members and officers that it is one of the most thriving secret societies among Afro-Americans of this city. According to the nonprofit African American Registry, the fraternal order was founded in Cincinnati, Ohio in 1899 after two black men were denied admission to the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks of the World, which is still popular today and, despite questions raised on discriminative practices, now allows any American citizen 21 years or older who believes in God to be invited to join its ranks. The two men decided to take the order's name and make their own club around it, formerly called the Improved, Benevolent, and Protective Order of Elks of the World. The order was once considered to be at the center of the black community. During the era of segregation, the lodge was one of the few places where black men and women could socialize. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette wrote, in recent years, however, the Post-Gazette commented that the secret organization has struggled to retain its relevance. Still, the secret society continues to sponsor educational scholarship programs, youth summer computer literacy camps, parades, as well as community service activities throughout the world. The Grand Orange Lodge. The Grand Orange Lodge, known more commonly as the Orange Order, got its name from Prince William III, the Prince of Orange. It was found after the Battle of the Diamond outside a small village in modern-day Northern Ireland called Logal. Its purpose was to protect Protestants, and that's why in 1849, the Lord Lieutenant of Ireland, George William Frederick Villiers, captured the ire of Dublin's Waterford News for supporting the society. The paper wrote, Lord Clarendon has been holding communication with an illegal society in Dublin for upwards of 10 days. The Grand Orange Lodge, with its secret signs and passwords, has been plotting with His Excellency during the whole of that period. This may seem strange, but it is a fact. Now, at the time, secret societies were banned from Ireland, as they were said to have acted in antagonism to the Land League, an Irish political organization, according to Ireland's official records on statistics of eviction and crime. The Grand Orange Lodge is still around today, with clubs in Ireland as well as others around the world. Prospective members of the Protestant fraternity don't take a pledge. They just have to affirm their acceptance of the principles of Reformation, as well as loyalty to their country. As to the question of whether they are anti-Roman Catholic, the official website states that Orangism is a positive rather than a negative force. It wishes to promote the Reformed faith based on the infallible Word of God, the Bible. Orangism does not foster resentment or intolerance. Condemnation of religious ideology is directed against church doctrine and not against individual adherents or members. The Independent Order of Oddfellows. Perhaps one needs to be a member of the altruistic and friendly society known as the Independent Order of Oddfellows to know for sure when the club first started, but the first written record of the order comes in 1812, however, and its references are George IV. Even before he was named Prince Regent of the United Kingdom, George IV had been a member of the Freemasons, but as the story goes, when he wanted a relative of his to be admitted to the society without having to endure the lengthy initiation process, the request was emphatically denied. Prince George left the order, declaring he would establish a rival club, according to a history of the Independent Order of Oddfellows, published by the Philadelphia Evening Telegraph in 1867. The official website of the order, however, traces the club's origins all the way back to 1066. Regardless of how it first started, it's fair to say that the king, now King George, got his wish. The Independent Order of Oddfellows is still around today, and the club counted British Prime Ministers Winston Churchill and Stanley Baldwin among its ranks. The Oddfellows, as they call themselves, are grounded in the ideal of friendship, love, and truth. There are real skeletons in the order's lodges. They are used during initiation to remind its members of their mortality, the Washington Post reported in 2001. The Knights of Pythias. The Knights of Pythias was founded by Justin H. Rathbone, a government employee in Washington, D.C. in 1864. He felt there was a moral need for an organization that practiced brotherly love, which would make sense, seeing as the country was in the midst of the Civil War. The name is a reference to the Greek legend of Damon and Pythias, the Pythagorean ideal of friendship. All of its founding members worked for the government in some capacity, and it was the first fraternal order to be chartered by an act of Congress. The order's official website writes, "The Knights of Pythias colors are blue, yellow, and red. Blue signifies friendship, yellow charity, and red benevolence." The North Carolina Evening Chronicle wrote in a special edition celebrating the 50th anniversary of the club in 1914. The Knights of Pythias is still active and is a partner of the Boy Scouts of America, the second organization to receive its charter from the United States Congress. The Ancient Order of the Foresters. Known today as Foresters Friendly Society, the Ancient Order of the Foresters was established, initially, in 1834, according to the Society's website, albeit under a slightly different name. The Ancient Order was created before state health insurance began in England, so the club offered sick benefits to its working class members. In 1874, the American and Canadian branches left the Ancient Order and set up the Independent Order of the Foresters. Candidates looking to be admitted to the club had to pass an examination by a competent physician who is himself bound by his connection with the order, the Boston Weekly Globe wrote in 1879. The Society still provides insurance policies today for its members who also engage in a variety of community service activities. The Ancient Order of United Workmen. John Jordan Upchurch and 13 others in Meadville, Pennsylvania, founded the Ancient Order of United Workmen in 1868 with the goal of bettering conditions for the working class. Like the Foresters, it has set up protections for its members. Initially, should a member die, all brothers of the order contributed $1 to a member's family. That number would eventually be capped at $2,000. The Ancient Order of the United Workmen is no longer around, but its legacy continues as the order unintentionally created a new kind of insurance that would influence other fraternal groups to add an insurance provision in their constitutions. The Patriotic Order, Sons of America. The Patriotic Order, Sons of America, dates back to the early days of the American Republic, according to its official website. Following in the footsteps of the Sons of Liberty, the Order of United Americans and Guards of Liberty, the Patriotic Sons of America, which later added the word order to its name, became one of the most progressive, most popular, most influential, as well as strongest patriotic organizations in the United States in the early 20th century, the Allentown Letter wrote in 1911. How progressive the order actually was is up to interpretation. In 1891, the Sons of America refused to delete the word white in its constitution, defeating a proposition that would allow black men to apply. Today, the order opens its membership up to all native-born or naturalized American male citizens, 16 years or older, and who believe in their country and its institutions, who desire to perpetuate free government, and who wish to encourage a brotherly feeling among Americans, to the end that we may exalt our country to join with us in our work of fellowship and love. Last on the list, the Molly Maguires. In the 1870s, 24 foremen and supervisors in the coal mines of Pennsylvania were assassinated. The suspected culprit? Members of the Secret Society of the Molly Maguires, an organization with Irish origins brought to the United States by Irish immigrants. The Maguires likely got its name because members used women's clothing as a disguise while allegedly carrying out its illegal acts, which also included arson and death threats. The group was finally undone by a mole planted by the famed Pinkerton Detective Agency, which was hired by the mining companies to investigate the group. In a series of criminal trials, 20 Maguires were sentenced to death by hanging. In the Order of the Sons of St. George, another secret organization which was founded in 1871 to oppose the Maguires, also appears to have vanished. Now, there are many others that are not on this list. Obviously, there's also the Children of God Family International, which was started in 1968. But this list grows quite a bit, and with secret societies, we really have just scraped the surface. Now, many of what I have read so far, people would describe that as, I guess you would say, a friendly version of cults or secret societies. There are some in there that we have discussed that are not so friendly or benevolent. There are others out there. And, you know, every country's government has declared a list for secret societies and cults. In Austria, you have a government list that labels the Church of Scientology, the Divine Light Mission, how do you pronounce this? Ek Nenker, Hare Krishna, the Osho Movement, Sahaja Yoga, Sai Baba, Sri Chinmoy, Transcendental Meditation, Fiat Lux, Universal Life, and the Family International among its cults that are identified within its country. Now in Canada, they have the Security Intelligence Service, and on one of the reports in 1999, it discussed a doomsday religious movement that espoused hostile beliefs and having the potential to be violent. These groups classified as doomsday religious movements include the Branch Davidians, Canada's Order of the Solar Temple, and the Aum Shrinyiko, called the Aum Cult. Now, in 2005, the Hate Crimes Unit of the Edmonton Police Service confiscated anti-Falun Gong materials distributed to the annual conference of the American Family Association by staff members of the Calgary Chinese Consulate, Province of Alberta, Canada. And the materials included the calling of Falun Gong a cult, were identified as having breached the criminal code, which bans the willful promotion of hatred against identifiable religious groups. And then there's China. Now, the General Office of Ministry of Public Security of the People's Republic of China maintains a list of heterodoxed teachings entitled Information Regarding Organizations Identified as Cults, the White Lotus Sect, and the Red Lantern Sect. Among those is also the Eastern Lighting, offshoots of Korean Christian new religious movements, the Unification Church of Reverend Moon, Dami Evangelism Association, and the World Elijah Association. Buddhist based prescribed sects included the Lu Xingyong's Taiwan-based, I can't even pronounce this, it's Buddhism. And China has a very no-holds-bar opinion when it comes to religion. And you have to understand why. The cult of communism cannot allow any other religious movement or cult within its proximity or fear that they would start to lose members of their Chinese Party's Republic cult. And, you know, just like all the other cults that we've mentioned, there is a need and a want for blood and sacrifice to the gods, to their worshipful masters. And within the Chinese cult of communism, it is the party's members, just like North Korea, that are viewed to have this godlike ability or appearance amongst their own viewers. The people of the party, the people that are in the Communist Party, literally worship to the extent of harassment of any other religious affiliation. They worship the Communist Party leaders. Today, in current day China, tens of thousands of people of the Uyghur Muslim religious movements are in concentration camps. And our country very rarely, even seldomly, mentions it. We have to understand something, that when it is a government approved religion, a government approved cult, anything that comes within the way of being in the way of the government is automatically considered a dissenter or an enemy of the state. Much like what we see with the people still involved with the January 6 incarcerations. Like I said, we've barely even scraped the surface of cults. In this special, with the America's Most Unexplained Cults, we're going to talk about also a few other offshoots of this that I believe have a lot of importance to do with it. We're going to go into some history of the Salem witch trials. We're also going to talk about witchcraft in America and the rising occultism in witchcraft, and also a little bit of a history lesson on Druidism and some of the other occultic beliefs that are in America that involve both of these, witchcraft and Druidic rituals. You know, notable mentions, the Bohemian Grove, obviously. And we're going to do a good breakdown of the Bohemian Grove. But we have to understand something. As we progress forward in America, especially with this new transhuman movement that is happening, we find ourselves seeing a further falling away from Christ. And we find people needing and wanting another form of a savior instead of our Lord Jesus. And as many of you have heard it before, Satan comes in all signs and lying wonders. You know, he will do his best to completely deceive humanity. That is his, I guess you could say, gift. And we are going to sit back and we are going to probably start seeing a rise in occultic rituals, just like we see with the American Satanic Church or the Temple of Satan. These rituals, a lot of it have to do with homosexuality. A lot of it has to do with pedophilia and blood sacrifices, and also the attacks or the ritualistic killings of the infants in the womb or infants itself, which ties a lot into a lot of other conspiracies that are out there. Stay tuned. We're going to cover more of this. My name is Doug Thornton. You've been listening to the American Vindictus Show. I'm out of here.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.